This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. In Manitoba, you can check AMI Audio out via your television. MTS has us on channel 704. And Source Cable has us on channel 110 in Hamilton, Ontario. Visit AMI.ca/schedules for a list of channel locations in your area and where you can find AMI Audio available via your television. I'm Kelly McDonald, host of the program with Ramya Muthan.
And now let's talk all things audiobooks with our friend Ryan Huey.
Who knew an entire library could fit inside your pocket? My name is Ryan Huey. This is The Chatty Bookshelf, and we talk all things audiobooks.
Hey, Ryan, how's it going?
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. How was your long weekend?
Oh, you know what? That's so sad. It feels so long time ago.
Right? It feels like I was on the show so long ago.
What?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Too. He was on the Backwards Thursday, the April Fool's joke day.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. When we had
what a show it was.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Oh. Thank you, sir. Thank you. But Ryan, yeah, nice. But again, with everything going on, everything just, you just seem so lost of time and day. And then you get warm weather and you're saying, is this supposed to be here now? I mean, after all, this is February. No, it's not. No, it's April. Yeah.
Could they have picked a better week to, you know, embrace this lockdown and stay at home order? Because it's been, you know, what, 25 degrees every single day so far. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I chuckle at the variance in temperature. Ryan's down Windsor way, and as it goes through London to Toronto, and just how much you'll hear on the weather on the TV, and they'll mention things like, oh, it's that warm down there? Yeah, the line is here. So here you've got 5 degrees Celsius, and where Ryan is, he's lazing back in 18.
Well, it's interesting because I struggled right there because I had to say Celsius because we switch over in Windsor when it gets warm to Fahrenheit. So it's like, oh, it's 72. But what? If I say that, everyone's like,
what's 72? It gets warm? Yeah.
To make it sound like more. That's like from Oliver Twist. Please, sir, may I have some more? Just put it on some smaller plates so it looks like more.
No, that's crazy. So in the summer, you put it to Fahrenheit, and then in the winter, you're like, no, we don't want to go that low. Let's just, or we want to make it seem colder then.
In the winter, it's -2, but in, you know, in the summer, it is 75 degrees. It's 80 degrees. Wow. It's 100 degrees. Yeah.
Yeah, we can also in your background hear Hot Rod Harry whipping around. So awesome. Enjoying that nice weather.
You guys did not hear that, really?
Yeah, he's enjoying the nice weather out there.
Oh boy, this is an offline conversation now.
There we are.
So, Rye, let's move to audiobooks before it's too late. What are we chatting about today?
This one's really cool. So, it's not my norm. You know, I stick to the science fiction, that sort of stuff. But this is actually a nonfiction book that I've come across, and it was actually really good. It was a quick listen, but it's called Thrivers by a psychologist named Michelle Borba. And it kind of looks at how children of different ages are dealing with the pandemic and the everything that really goes with it, even some things that we might not think of. So a little bit out of my wheelhouse, but it was a really good listen, and I flew through it. I was actually really surprised.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, tell us a little bit about this book itself. I mean, something pulled you to say, hey, I'm going to take a check of it. What really pulled you in?
The description was really good for the book. And you know what? There was a quote by a sixth grader, and it said, you know, the pandemic can be broken down into sort of three, I guess, ways that we've been thinking about it, right? And it was, the first one was, hey, it's going to end any day now. And then the second one was, hey, now we're looking at creative ways on how to see our friends. And the third one is, oh, we're in month 14. Is this ever going to end now? And so that kind of, it was interesting because I never thought of it in that perspective until a 12-year-old kind of put it into perspective for me, right?
And the reason why this is called Thrivers is why?
So it looks at how some kids can thrive in unnatural environments, I guess is how they kind of put it, and how other kids sort of struggle to be the norm, and it wants to know why. Michelle Borba wanted to know, hey, how come, you know, Jimmy is so good when he's in the classroom, but when he's learning online, why isn't he that good? Mm. And it was interesting because when they looked at things, they were looking at the rise in children calling ambulances and going to the emergency room for mental health concerns. And I guess it's really kind of exploded throughout the pandemic. But what the best chapter, I shouldn't say the best chapter, the most interesting chapter that I read was regarding that. It's the kids that you weren't worried about in school. It was the student parliament presidents. It was the captain of the football team. You know, the people that get their social kind of aspect from school. Now they're not getting that. And their lives have sort of changed, and unfortunately not for the better. So they wanted to give, you know, tips and tricks on what they could do to kind of better them, what's working, what's not, and what these children are feeling. So it's really a great listen, actually. And if you guys are, you know, looking to kind of learn something, or even just interested on what kids throughout Canada and the United States are going through, it's really a good listen.
Wow, that's amazing. Is there other things in there in the way of the structure of the book? I'm assuming we get a bunch of the examples, the discussion, and probably it's a read like a discussion unfolding in front of you. How does this book get put out for you?
I almost pictured it as I was a teacher marking tests, and I had, you know, test number one from Jimmy, and he says this, and then test number two was, so it was almost like you were reading papers from different students. And the thing I liked was it wasn't just sixth grade or eighth grade or 12th grade students. It was a mix. And it was like, this is what we're dealing with at this age level, and this is what we're dealing with at this age level. It was really interesting. And then the part that was, it spends a lot of time talking about what kids are doing to make themselves busy, to take their mind off of school, to all the distractions. And it talks a great deal about how different the distractions are compared to, you know, hey, we didn't want Melissa going to that party Friday night. Now it's the distractions are completely different kind of thing compared to in a air quotes normal world.
Mm. Did they get much into the parents, the teachers, the caregivers that are in there?
Yeah, they sort of give tips for them too on, you know, hey, here's some unique ways that you can, you know, bring it up to the students or bring it up to your children. And this is how you can start that conversation. Because I think that might be, you know, 50% of the battle is how do you start this conversation to realizing that maybe there's something not right, or, you know, maybe they're struggling with something and why have their grades went down or something, right? I know I'm concentrating on the negatives here, but there was a lot of talk about the negatives and how to kind of move them progressively into a positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's I guess when you think about the three phases you mentioned that the children are seeing this as this pandemic, there was like in the first stage, you're going, oh no, this can't last so long. And then the second stage, you're like, okay, well, I guess we have to deal. And now it's really about the optimism part too, right? Right? Like as adults, I can say that that's one thing, you know, we've done it for 12 plus months, but how do we do it and still feel good when things just don't seem to be going? I mean, I don't think we're all under this naive impression that it's going to go back to the way it was, but it's still like where it's going now, is it a good place? Like we don't know anything still. So it's hard to stay optimistic and positive in this time frame of things.
It does touch on that a little bit, actually. And what's interesting about that point is they're looking towards what's the fourth part of this pandemic going to look like? What are the kids going to label it as, right? Because we got the three, but, you know, we might not be out of the woods just yet. So what are they going to struggle with in this next one? Or how can we kind of nip it in the butt and not be so reactive to things? You know, we got to look ahead and be proactive. So it's a really good listen, and she definitely did her homework, and she talked to a ton of kids, which was really kind of inspiring to get all of these thoughts. I mean, especially as a sixth grader, to have your quote used in a book, yeah. That's mm-hmm. kind of cool, right? I think that might help in a way, right? And I can't say enough great things about this one.
Well, we've been hearing, especially when it comes to closing schools, doing the online, how the mental health piece is really, really got to be taken into account. And you start feeling sometimes, yeah, but people are in danger with schools and all that avenue of it and dealing with each level of the pandemic, no matter what you think of it. Anything else that you wanted to touch on from the audiobook?
You know what? It's great from start to finish. It really puts things into perspective, and it sort of makes you look at things from a younger, maybe a little bit of a younger mind's perspective. And I never really knew that maybe I might struggle with some of these things too, because I'm such a social person. It's sort of just you deal with the hand you're given, right, or what we're going through. But it sort of brought some things to light for me too, and I'm definitely going to try some of the suggestions they said, you know, because it wasn't just the typical, hey, do yoga or work out or cook. There was, you know, like do some deep breathing or do some you can pray or you can read, which we know I always do, but there were some really good ones in there, and I'm open to trying them.
They created some terms too, right to kind of
forgot about these. Yeah,
define, so I can the see pandemic these catching or whatever.
On too. Yeah, so what this came from a school in Texas actually, and what they did was they created a couple of terms and it sort of defined how they were feeling within the pandemic. So it was like, oh, I'm pandemic good was one, and I'm quarantine fine was the other one. And that's how they were describing each other to each other on Zoom calls or on Microsoft Teams calls when they're learning in class, right? So I could see this kind of becoming a thing, you know, with Urban Dictionary and some other things. I really think that those could kind of catch on, because who would have thought 14 months later we'd still be, you know, where we are.
Well, you think about yourself too, where we would have been if this had happened while you're in school, and you then wonder about... We always, especially as kids, you watch different people and you think, and I'm sure teachers have the people that, okay, that person's a leader. They're going to do this. They're going to be that way. That person's more shy. But in the book, I'm sure there were people, there were those surprises, people of, wow, they're very much struggling with this, or wow, that person's really adapted.
And that was a big point in the story too, right? Is like how you look at different people, and they kind of took the different cross sections of children and students and things. So you had the, you know, you had the jocks, you had the people in band, you had the artists, you had the people that don't really do any activities afterwards. You had the younger kids, the older kids, and that's what I think really made this a true kind of story, as you're looking at it. And from a parent's perspective, it's like, hey, well, how can I be better, or how can I help my child be better, whether it's extracurriculars, whether they're struggling with math, or whether it's the mental health factor. I think it's all just as important as the next. And, you know, really looking into this, it opened my eyes, no pun intended.
Yeah. No, it's definitely... an important thing for us to think about, and pick up a book like this and be able to realize that there's different parts of our population that are experiencing this pandemic in very specifically difficult ways. And that is going to make long-lasting impressions. I mean, we've talked about school and what's going on in the education system and what online learning or stay-at-home learning is going to mean for kids. But there's so many aspects. They're missing out on social. They're missing out on, you know, like milestone moments of growing up and all these different things where, like, that age group is really not, like, I don't think we're hearing enough about it, right? We need to be picking up these very specific content, created content, so that we can learn more about what the kids are feeling.
Well, Ryan, it's got to be tough because we're only supposed to hear so much. There's a lot of privacy issues. And also what the people who can speak out, they want us to be, oh, no, we're dealing. We've got to be careful of this. This is a, and we're hearing sort of the stories that they want us to hear.
You're right. And it's interesting because you look at this time last year, all the kids are like, yeah, we get to learn from home. This is going to be awesome. I don't have to wake up early. I can, you know, sit on my couch. I don't have to wear a school uniform, that sort of thing. But who would have ever thought that we would hear kids are missing the classroom? It's just, I mean, even I look back, like Kelly mentioned earlier, you know, when we were in school, oh, I didn't want to wake up early to go to school. But now, you know, kids are struggling because they don't have that sort of, I guess, routine almost, just something to look forward to. Like you said, even if it's the game after school or the prom or all these get togethers. So it's a really, really good book. And, you know what, it touches on so many different things, like you said, and I'm sure that this book could have been 1,000 more pages and still not even scratched the surface.
For sure. Rai, thank you so much, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, have a good weekend, guys.
Ryan Huey on the Chatty Bookshelf.
We'll take a break, folks. When we return, Jeff Ryman joins us, and we'll do Cut for Time. Hang in. You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.